coming up on this edition of Open Source.
When I launched my fashion company, I had spent a couple years putting together this business plan. I took an entrepreneurship course. I got microfinancing, which was amazing. That sort of gave me that first boost of confidence. I raised startup capital to launch my first collection. That, you know, was executed in a beautiful fashion show along the Hudson River on the most perfect day in September. Well, that was September 1st, about 10 days before 9/11.
Designer, publisher, and entrepreneur Nova Lorraine is next on Open Source. Welcome to Open Source. My guest today is Nova Lorraine, the founder and CEO of Rain Magazine. She's a lifestyle, fashion, and entrepreneurship goddess. Nova is changing lives and spreading positivity through her magazine, podcast, and public speaking events. Nova Lorraine, welcome to Open Source.
Thank you for having me.
And you are honestly just so positive. I think the thing that comes across to me, I usually ask people when they come on, how would you explain yourself? But I think I can explain you by saying just the total positive energy that you exude all the time. How did you come about that?
Oh, thank you so much. I don't know. I think it's, I really intentionally look at things in the most positive way I can, like the glass half full. For example, I had an interview today. I was interviewing a very influential person in the invention and toy industry. And for the very first time during the recording, I realized that the audio wasn't recording. And I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to smile through this and know that there was a reason for this. I'm going to trust this to the universe. It's going to be even better next time. And I think that we all have a choice of how we view the world, our circumstances, our experiences. And I'm very intentional at looking at the silver lining in everything as much as possible. But then also I do feel compelled to inspire and motivate others. And so you have to almost be drinking the Kool-Aid in order to do that. And I've had my own shares of ups and downs and dips in the roller coaster ride. And so I pull from that personal experience and know that there's always that upswing. And if we could focus on the feelings that come along with that upswing and help, you know, share that with others, then it's contagious.
That's great. Do you journal? Do you keep track of those events, good or bad, or how do you handle that?
You know, it's funny that you asked if I journal. So I do have a log of over 50 events that were impactful in about 10 years of my journey as a fashion designer and my early experiences as an entrepreneur and how that led into launching Rain Magazine. And some of these stories you can't make up. I mean, it's better than fiction. And I look back and say, wow, like why are they all like these really big lessons that I had to learn? And, you know, what I took from it was that they're to share their stories, that I have that can help others avoid those mistakes or failures or learn from them as I've learned from them.
And I think, you know, seeing life as a classroom is probably, I think it's a smart thing to do. And I think that it's something you should embrace as opposed to run from. Sometimes the things that we go through, you never know what the benefit of the blessing of that experience is for you until you, sometimes you reflect back and sometimes you think something was really terrible and you realize you really got something, you learned something from that. Have you had that experience?
Oh yeah. Throughout my life, I think every experience initially that comes across as a negative one, I could look back on and be grateful of the positive things that come from that. That have come from that experience. And I can't say I did that all along. I think that you know, I've grown and I've learned and evolved. And, you know, I would say especially in the last, I would say 10 years or so, have been intentional about that. I think it was probably always a natural part of my personality, but, you know, understanding how much positivity can create your reality, really, and affect the feelings you get from a certain experience goes a long way. And I was inspired to include those stories in a book and excerpts from those stories in a book that is named after my podcast, Unleash Your Supernova, that guide individuals on how to really tap into those superpowers by recognizing the lessons that they learn along the way in their journey.
Okay, you brought that up. So now just share one of those insights with us.
Oh, goodness. Which one should I? Okay, so when I launched my fashion company, I had spent a couple years putting together this business plan. I took an entrepreneurship course. I got microfinancing, which was amazing. That sort of gave me that first boost of confidence that I was on the right track. And I was living in the DC metro area at the time. I moved back to New York, and through family and friends, I raised startup capital to launch my first collection. And that was executed in a beautiful fashion show along the Hudson River on the most perfect day in September. Well, that was September 1st, about 10 days before 9/11. And here I was, a young entrepreneur, entering into an industry that I had no network, no contacts. You know, I went to FIT, so I at least had some training behind me as it related to my design skills. But I didn't come from deep pockets. I didn't have any famous parents or anything like that. And I was just hustling. I was, you know, trying to raise a couple million dollars in capital to launch this luxury fashion company as a female of color in an industry where I was more than the minority. And in a niche, luxury fashion, which, you know, I to this day have not come across many that focus into that niche. And, you know, I had gotten some small loans along the way, which was very helpful. That helped me open my showroom in Manhattan on 7th Ave. That grew into a six-figure loan that helped me open my store in Westchester County, New York. But I had met so many obstacles and almost yeses to getting that $2 million that I was looking for so many years. And that journey ended in terms of seeking outside investors when, you know, I was swindled for the last time, I would say, because I'm very trusting of other individuals and, you know, spent thousands of dollars going through a due diligence process, which was completely fake, that would have supposedly led me to this angel investor. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And I said, you know what, I'm going to stop waiting for this magical person to come out of the sky that's going to believe in my idea enough to take this business to the next level. I'm just going to do it on my own. I'm just going to, you know, bring it in and change my business model and figure out a way where I can, you know, not have to depend on outside investors anymore. And that's when I had used my business plan, and I had great credit, thankfully, and I knew my market, I knew my strategy, I knew my numbers, and that's what led to that six-figure loan to help me open my store and take my business in a different direction. And it was during that time period of conceptualizing this new business model that I was inspired to launch Rain Magazine, because I was so frustrated with the lack of resources and the lack of support as a community, as a creative entrepreneur in fashion, that I wanted to create a platform that would be that support for others, that would be a place for people to get recognized, that would be a source of funding for others. And that's how Rain was born. So those pain points actually, you know, drew me to my purpose of helping others through my love of fashion and creativity.
Beautiful. That's a fantastic story. I mean, just the idea that all of that you went through and you've come out the other end much stronger. I just think it's wonderful, really. I'm sure living through it was not wonderful, but still. And so you have this phrase, you laugh, you have this phrase I've heard you say over and over again, creative entrepreneurship. What do you mean when you say that?
You know, I believe creative entrepreneurship embodies individuals that are using their gifts and their talents to impact a wider community through what they love and making a livelihood out of that. As you know, as an entrepreneur, you're creating something from nothing, and there's no path that is exactly like your own. And you have to be extremely tenacious, persistent, consistent, innovative, creative, you know, all while balancing all of those things along the way. And then imagine throwing a curveball in there and say, okay, now do that with fashion, or do that with fine art, or do that with toys, or do that with sports, you know, where you are the talent, you are the service. And as opposed to, I'm going to buy a McDonald's franchise with this proven model, and if I put X amount of dollars in and open it at X location, I'm guaranteed X return. And with creative entrepreneurship, it's finding a way to support yourself through your creative talents and passions. But one of the things that I found was a common denominator for most of the individuals that I was meeting was that they all had a purpose of doing this to help the greater good. And they were all so extremely talented at what they were doing and passionate. And I felt that starting a magazine like Rain Magazine would be a way to bring the world's attention to these incredible individuals that should be noticed and not necessarily have to be an A-lister or best friends with a notable personality to have their story told.
That's incredible. And I've heard you talk about the magazine, and you've talked about getting started and just in words of encouragement to others. I've heard you speak about this. And one thing you said that really strikes me is that you said, don't wait to become an expert necessarily in whatever field you're approaching. And I think there's a sense of boldness is what you're trying to say. Is that right?
Yeah, and it's hard as a creative person because I'm a perfectionist. I'm learning to love the imperfection in what I'm creating, and knowing that as an artist, you're always going to find something to improve about what you're putting out there. But I do believe that you just have to do it. You just have to take that first step, and it's absolutely terrifying. And because you are on this unique path, there's no signs up that's going to tell you, okay, now go left or now go right. So a lot of it is trusting your gut. But there are ways where you can help fortify yourself on this, you know, uncertain journey. And that's surrounding yourself with a supportive community, may it be family or friends or mentors or advisors or coaches, recognizing your weaknesses and bringing individuals in your circle that can balance out those weaknesses with your strengths. But if you wait until the time is perfect, or if you wait until you have enough money, or you wait until you have enough connections, when is that ever going to come? And I believe that if you're persistent and you're intentional and you always hold on to that vision, then time will catch up with you. And if you walk out on that path, knowing it's a roller coaster ride, knowing it's more about the journey than the end goal, then it's okay, because you're always going to strive for something more. You're always going to look for something new to do, always going to look for that next project to create, and just accept that as part of this process. But if you wait until it's perfect, and I've done that, I'm like, no, I can't launch until the logo is just right. And oh, it's not right. Weeks, months, years can go by. So you just have to trust with what you have right now, move forward with what you have right now, and be okay with knowing that you can always improve and that you will always continue to evolve along the way.
That's beautiful as well. I think there's one thing I believe in, and I believe this, no matter how much we think we might lack, I always believe that we have more than we think we do. You know, we have more. We doubt so ourselves, so but we true. Really do have what we need. But we have those little voices in our head saying, oh, maybe, like you said, we'll wait for this or wait for that. And that just doesn't always occur. So now for you, as a person that's trained in fashion and in design, how do you apply your training to these other areas that you're involved in? And how has that made you effective or helped make you more effective?
Oh, that's a really good question. I call myself the accidental consultant because it was something that I never sought out to do, but is literally my day job. I started in psychology and medicine. I was pursuing my PhD in clinical psychology when I had the epiphany. And I, you know, always had the desire to help people, but I thought initially it was going to be through psychology, clinical psych. So asking questions and having really great listening skills, analytical skills carried over into my design business. But then as I was meeting other entrepreneurs and founders, and they would share their goals and interests, and I would give them advice and feedback, they would then hire me to help them execute those ideas. Or they would see what I was doing with my fashion business and ask if I could execute that for them. And so ever since I launched my fashion company, I've been consulting. And 2 decades later, I'm still consulting. And I focus a lot on, you know, human behavior, you know, how emotions play into things, how we react and feel about certain things that will affect the design, that would affect the storytelling, that would affect the visual component of the brand. And the point of view I take is from an artistic perspective, is from a fashion designer's perspective, which is unique in a consulting space. And so the branding is really, for me, storytelling. And I have always enjoyed that form of sharing knowledge. And I chose to initially do it through fashion, and then it went into media. And now it's through books and podcasting and creative writing. And that's how I feel that the visual component of what I do and the my psychology background has sort of overflowed into my current, I would say, quote unquote, day job of consulting and advising other brands and founders.
That's great. You really do. You didn't mean that. You meant that you really do. Our consultant, is that right?
Yeah, it's, I don't have a sign out where I market it. It's mainly through word of mouth or people will inquire, if they come across my bios, but it's what I've been doing for the last couple of decades, and I really enjoy it. It's really just, you know, a commercial way, I guess, of using my psychology training and combining that with my sense of creativity and my design skills.
Yeah, and I think if you're involved in marketing or sales of any kind, especially in fashion and design, psychology is a big part of it. I mean, in really knowing or trying to understand what people want, that's huge. And if you're able to do that, if you have those insights, you're going to make some money. So, and for you, you have 3 words that really strike me as well. You talk about fashion, culture, and technology, and you've taken those 3 components and turned them into an industry for yourself. Explain how you've done that.
Well, those are areas that I'm very passionate about. The fashion is something that I picked up early on from my mother. She's an extremely stylish woman with discerning taste. It's always been quality over quantity for her, and that she instilled in me. And I absolutely am in love with how you can use clothing as a form of expression and communication and self-empowerment. And most of us take it for granted. We see clothes as a functional item. But, you know, when you're wearing sweats versus a very tailored custom piece of clothing, it really creates a different feeling within you, and that gets embodied externally. So that's always blown my mind, the psychology behind, you know, clothing and how we can really use it to empower ourselves. And then culture, I studied multiculturalism in grad school. I was born in Jamaica. My parents immigrated here shortly thereafter. And I studied languages. I lived in Spain for half a year to really become fluent in Spanish. And I've always loved all sorts of culture and food and art and music and film and, you know, destinations and design. All of that is embodied in culture. And so it was just natural for me to bring that into an area that I would focus on within the magazine. And lastly, technology. I'm absolutely a nerd at heart, and I have 5 siblings, 4 of which are brothers, and I'm definitely part of the geek squad. And I love innovation. I love gadgets, and I know enough to be dangerous. And I feel that one field cannot be independent of another. And all of those 3 areas are intertwined and interconnected. And so it just made sense to bring not only the areas that I love together in one medium, but areas that I feel are absolutely codependent on the other.
That's great. Do you have a favorite gadget right now?
Gadget, I would say my podcast mic. So my newest thing, my Yeti.
Tell me about your podcast, Mike. What's exciting about this podcast, Mike, that you have?
It's just night and day. I started recording my podcast through my laptop, and ignorant to the fact that, you know, there's a huge difference when you have the right equipment when recording a show. And I had the gentleman that was assisting me initially with getting set up. He was like, you know, I like the content, but I think the sound could be better. And I'm like, well, what is he talking about? You know, it sounds great to me. And so he's like, you know, here are some mics. And then he said, here are some mics that I recommend. So I did my research. I love researching. So I did my research, and I was like, okay, this one seems like it's going to be right. And when I listened to the audio, the difference with that piece of this little gadget that I would call, night and day, absolutely night and day. And it made me fall in love with the medium even more. And I grew up around music, love music, love sound and how it affects us. And then, you know, to take for granted just the differences in terms of the mics you're using, I was like, whoa. And so because I'm, you know, spending a lot of time these days, working on my show, and it's been a good friend of mine. I absolutely appreciate this new tool and gadget of mine that's taken the audio of my show to the next level.
That's exciting. I mean, there's nothing like good sound, and there's nothing as bad audio. So yeah, I think that's right, huge that you found right, that. Right. Let's talk about the podcast, and then I want to talk about the magazine too before we wrap up. Tell me about your podcast and where people can find it, and what kind of things are you talking about?
Yeah, so Unleash Your Supernova. It's available on all your major podcast platforms: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher. I am a part of a network called Evergreen Podcasts, the really great growing network. And what I focus on, similarly to what we publish in Rain Magazine, is, you know, are interviewing amazing talent around the world, founders, creators, innovators, and sharing their stories and getting the tips, hacks, and secrets that they have that allow them to reach success along their journey. And then also tapping into experts, you know, that are in areas such as wellness and quantum science and mindfulness and, you know, things that are really going to help anyone become a better version of themselves, to share that knowledge as well. And my goal really is to help each and every listener tap into those superpowers. We all have them within us, to unleash this brilliance that we all have within us that I call the supernova.
Great. Now, where can people find your magazine, Rain Magazine?
Rain Magazine lives online on socials. So rainmagazine.com, that's Rain, just like it's spelled, from the sky, but with an E at the end, R-A-I-N-E, magazine. And you can find us on your major social media platforms, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. And where else can you find us? Oh, and you can order a copy of the printed issue to come right to your door.
And that's cool. You say bookstore and you say, what's that? What's a bookstore, mommy? Because they don't exist anymore. Not much. Sad. But anyway.
Well, I am still an avid fan of bookstores. But I believe that I can live at a bookstore. I'm not even kidding you. I could probably open a small bookstore with all the books I have. However, I recognize that, you know, people are consuming content differently. And, you know, our lifestyles are changing. And so the convenience of getting something delivered directly to your home is something that we're all getting more used to. And so, you know, I like to try to evolve as society is changing as well.
Great. And then the last thing for me, Rain, what's your superpower?
Oh, my superpowers. I guess it depends on if you're asking my kids or let me think. They think I have super hearing and super sense of smell and I could tell the future. That's amazing. I would say compassion, I think, is a superpower I have. Empathy, intuition, that guides me a lot. And creativity.
Those are good ones. And I wonder too, is there a tip or something that you think listeners should be looking out for right now or into the near future? Is there some idea people need to think about?
I think people should be okay with embracing those unique gifts that they're born with. Those, if they're different thinkers or how they look at the world, you know, maybe one way versus the majority of how other people look at the world, or their loves and their passions may be completely different from their social circle. I think it's okay to embrace you, regardless of how unique and different you are. I think that should be celebrated. And the more individuals that are willing to share that their uniqueness to the world, the better we all are for it. And, you know, part of that has led me to my newest project, not that I don't have enough to be working on, but my newest project, which will include bringing together a community of what I call wild thinkers to share their stories and their love and their knowledge to the world. And so when I get a little closer to the launch of that, I'll give you guys a heads up so you can get an exclusive on it.
I love that. I love the idea. And I tell you, I find myself listening to you smiling. My face, I was smiling. So there's something special about what I found in you today. And I really appreciate you joining us on Open Source. And I mean, it's just a great experience and a great time with you. My guest has been Nova Lorraine from Rain Magazine. And I really appreciate you being with us. Thank you. Open Source is a production of Duet Digital Media and McLaughlin Media.